The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
And we stand in such dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to consider this morning, being in the Holy Spirit. We consider being in Christ. We were put in Christ before the foundation of the world. And because of that, there is nothing that can remove us from being in Christ. And one blessed aspect of being in Christ is that we are truly in love because God is love. And guess what? You know what the very first fruit of the Holy Spirit is? It's love. So now we want to consider being in the Spirit, but particularly walking in the Spirit. Because, as you may know, in the Old Testament, Jehovah God, God the Father, took a prominent position in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit was not emphasized as much. God the Son, who was not incarnated yet, was not emphasized as much. And as we know, God is one in three and three in one and three persons in one Godhead. So everything that God the Father does, Jesus Christ does, and the Holy Spirit does. So when we're in Jesus Christ, all those verses we consider that we're in Christ, we're in the Spirit as well, right? Because Jesus is one with the Holy Spirit. But there was also a time during Jesus' earthly ministry when he became a man and the Word was made flesh that Jesus Christ took the prominent position in the Scriptures. But now that Jesus has ascended up on high, now the Holy Spirit has taken the prominent position. Because God, Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another Comforter. Now we know that all throughout all of eternity, all of time, that all three of those persons of the Godhead are still perfect and one and in unity. But the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead that the Lord has commissioned to guide His church now here in the kingdom age, okay? And I want you to understand how dependent each one of us are every single day upon the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Because everything that we talked about in regards to showing love to others, we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. Because love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? We can't do that without the Holy Spirit. And I also want to look at some other aspects where we are just totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And we know that, right? We know that apart from the Holy Spirit beginning the work in regeneration, we can't do anything good before the Holy Spirit shows up in the first place. So that continues on as well, right? I mean, we know that we're, as Brother Adam prayed, all our righteousnesses are just filthy rags. We can't do anything good before the Lord. There's none that righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. Not. We don't even have the ability to do good. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. So if someone's doing good, that's an aspect, a fruit that the Holy Spirit resides within them because we can't do good ourselves. We can't be righteous ourselves. So we see that being exhibited in someone's life, but we can't do that ourselves before the Holy Spirit comes in and changes us to where we can show love and mercy and joy and peace and meekness and long-suffering and temperance and all those fruits of the Spirit. But we also know that we still have a nature that is contrary to the Spirit. And we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to enable us and strengthen us to be able to not fulfill the lust of the flesh that we're finna to talk about from Galatians chapter 5. We're dependent upon God. Remember, John chapter 15 and verse 5, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, he's speaking in the first person of being Jesus Christ, but we can also say, remember, he went up on high and he gave us another Comforter, so we can just as easily say, without the Holy Spirit, We can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking gives the indication of the pathway of life that we're taking. Our feet are walking a path. And what path should be, or what influence should be guiding our feet? What should be the influence that's guiding the way that we walk, the pathway that we take every day? What should be the influence? It should be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be guiding the way that we walk every single day. And if we're not going to indulge in the things we ought not to, in these sinful things, these lustful things, these carnal things, the only way that we can do that is by walking in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And there's a contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you want a whole chapter exposition on that one verse, go read Romans chapter 7 that talks about the good that I want to do, I don't do it. The bad stuff I don't want to do, I keep on doing it. Oh, and then the conclusion of all of that is, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. But thankfully, the Apostle Paul had the knowledge of the gospel, and we have the knowledge of the gospel, to where after he said that, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Is there any hope for a wretched man like me? But I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? And we can also say, I thank God through the Holy Spirit, right? Because the flesh is a formidable foe. It is difficult to mortify. It's difficult to control. But I don't want you to ever think that it is more powerful than the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit has the ability to quench any of these lustful, carnal thoughts that we have. The Holy Spirit is always more powerful than our carnal nature. You know, we have the ultimate trump card. You know, we have the thing that can overrule that if we walk in it, if we walk in the Spirit. Just like with Satan, we need to acknowledge the fact that Satan is a very formidable foe. And he talks a big game. He appears as a roaring lion. Now, understand that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7 and 8 says, he appears as a roaring lion. Understand, he is not more powerful than the lion of the tribe of Judah, than Jesus Christ. But he's a great fabricator, and he talks a big game. He appears as a roaring lion. We need to give him his due respect, not fear, but respect, because he, if we choose to not walk in the Spirit, he is more powerful than us. This is what we need to understand. Satan is more powerful than us, but he's not more powerful than God. Okay? Just like our flesh is very powerful, it's very formidable, but it's not more powerful than the Holy Spirit. Just like Satan is not more powerful than God. We need to give it a due respect, and we need to, we're going to be spending some time on the radio coming up, on the armor of God and withstanding the wiles of the devil. And we have to put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil. We need to understand he is a roaring lion. He's trying to devour us, so we need to protect ourselves. But don't ever think that we have no power or ability to defeat him. No. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? You know what? The closer you walk to God, closer you walk to the great shepherd, the wolves don't want to get close to that shepherd. Okay? They're going to attack the sheep when they get away from the fold, when they get away from the shepherd. But if you walk close to the shepherd, the wolf is not going to be near as dangerous to you. So therefore, that is right in line with this verse, isn't it? walk in the Spirit, right? And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then, verse 18, it says, if ye then be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to have the Holy Spirit influencing our actions. We need to pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you want to know how the Lord guides us oftentimes in the decisions that we make, in those instances where you feel a burden for a specific person that you need to encourage them or you need to speak with them? Do you want to know how the Lord guides? He guides by the Holy Spirit, with that still, small voice down in your heart and down in your spirit. He doesn't speak today the way that He spoke in the Old Testament, where God the Father spoke to Moses in that burning bush, you know, the theoretically that loud, booming voice, that deep James Earl Jones voice. The God speaks by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You know, it's very important, if we are going to be disciples of Christ and servants of Christ, to pray, Lord, guide me by your Holy Spirit. But then you have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit when He's guiding you, okay? When you feel a burden to, just out of the blue, you have this person on your mind and don't really know where it came from and you don't really know why, but I have them on my mind and I don't want you to just, which is the problem that I have. I wish I was more in tune with the Holy Spirit to where I had more people on my mind. I'm not so consumed with work and other things and just life that I'm not being burdened to encourage other people. I hope the Lord, I'm more in tune with the Holy Spirit where the Lord can use me to encourage other people. But instead, I'm usually just buzzing around like a bee and not in tune with the Holy Spirit like I ought to be to allow Him to lead me. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will place a person on your heart and you don't really know why. Don't quench that burdening of the Holy Spirit. Text that person. Call that person. Go see that person if necessary. And I can't tell you the times that I have acted on that. The majority of the time, they're going through something that you're not aware of. But if we're all in tune with the Holy Spirit, this is a child of God that stands in need and I'm burdening someone over here, to give them encouragement, to give them strength, maybe even to give them something that they stand in need of in a physical way, not just a word of encouragement. But that is being led by the Holy Spirit. Our actions, our thoughts, being led by the Holy Spirit. But you also have to learn to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to know when He is burdening your heart. Okay? If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he describes all the works of the flesh. These are the things that you will quench if you walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will have no desire to engage in adultery or fornication or uncleanness or lasciviousness or idolatry or witchcraft or hatred or variance and emulations, wrath, strife, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, unfortunately, we know the children of God, they can commit these actions. Now, if you continually engage in this, and you are a child of God, you remove your privileges of partaking of the blessings of the church in the kingdom of God. Now, our sins here in life have no bearing on our eternal security. But you can very much choose to squander your inheritance in the kingdom of God here in time. You know, that's what the prodigal son did, right? He had an inheritance, and he said, you know what, give me my inheritance, and he went out and he wasted it. He wasted his inheritance. And we have the ability to waste the inheritance that we have in the kingdom of God, the privilege. And by the way, if you act in these type of actions in a perpetual way, there's a place for if someone commits a sin and they repent of that sin and they're truly repentant, that doesn't mean we punish people by turning them out of the church because of one sin. The purpose of turning someone out of the church is to get them to the point of repentance, not to continually punish them for past mistakes. Instead, we should be the people that are encouraging them that, you know what, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God, right? But if someone lives in a way where they are perpetually engaging in these actions, then it becomes necessary for us to remove them from the fellowship of the church, to protect the church as a whole, right? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that is such a heart-wrenching thing for us as the church to be able to do that. But it's even worse for them because they are squandering their inheritance in the kingdom of God. And we don't want that to be the lot of any child of God, do we? What's the remedy for that? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know, I've also heard people that are engaging in these things, and they just say, I just can't do anything. I have no control over this. I can't quit doing it. Well, I'm going to tell you, that answer is not acceptable for a child of God. You want to hear me? That answer is not acceptable for a child of God, because you do have the ability. The flesh is not stronger than the Holy Spirit. That's just a cop-out to keep doing what you want to keep doing. That's a cop-out for you to keep living in sin. Okay? No, the Spirit is stronger than the flesh. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Now, this is the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. And this is summarized in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We need to be living in the Spirit every single day. And you know what? If we're going to act right, what's the real remedy for all? I mean, like, if I'm having a problem with a work of the flesh, hatred, what's the remedy for that? I need to say, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to walk in your Holy Spirit. Why? Because if I'm walking in your Holy Spirit, I'm not going to go around hating people. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Right? Are you having a problem with pride? Lord, give me your Holy Spirit so I can be meek. Am I losing my temper, flying off at the handle? Lord, give me your Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, peace, joy, long-suffering. Am I having a short temper with someone? Lord, give me your Holy Spirit so I can be long-suffering towards it. What's the remedy for all of that? I could keep going on for days. The remedy is the Holy Spirit. Remedies the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Thankfully, as it tells us here in Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation. Now, this is right on the heels of Romans chapter 7, by the way, right? Where he's having that conflict. I am struggling. You know, he said in Galatians 5, same man wrote both of these things. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. They're contrary one to the other. They're constantly butting heads. They're constantly this internal warfare and struggle. And he reaches that point in Romans 7 and 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord and through the Holy Spirit. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore, based on this fact, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who walk, live, and are led by the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, eternally, legally, there is no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, right? We've been saved by grace. We're the body of Christ. There's nothing that can separate us from that. But unfortunately, based on the way that we live our life, we can live in condemnation in our life. Justification by faith, if we back up to Romans chapter 5, justification by faith is about our believing God, trusting God in faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we have access by faith into the grace wherein you stand. So when we live by faith, and by the way, what is faith? It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? So if we're going to live by faith, that's what we're told in Habakkuk Chapter 2 and verse 4, reiterated many times in the New Testament, the just shall live by his faith. And we need to live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we want to live life that's pleasing to God, right? So we're going to live by faith. So how are you going to live by faith? By the Holy Spirit. Because what's faith the fruit of? The Holy Spirit. So if we're going to live by faith, how are we going to do it? In the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, justified by faith, especially in the context of believing the Lord and trusting in Him as the only means of righteousness. The effect of justification by faith, which we can only engage in by the Holy Spirit, right? The effect of justification by faith is that we have peace with God internally in our heart. We have peace when we place our faith and confidence in the Lord. Now, if you don't walk in the Spirit, i.e. you don't walk by faith, what's the effect of that? You will feel condemned. You will feel condemned in your soul. Now, when we live by faith, that condemnation is relieved, right? It's replaced with peace instead of condemnation. But if we walk after the flesh, what does that heap upon us? Internal condemnation, you know? I believe it's Romans chapter 2 when he's talking about the Gentiles. They have a law that's written in their heart. And he says, depending on how they act, depending on your obedience to the law of God, depending on your obedience to the Holy Spirit, then your conscience either accuses you or excuses you. Well, there's a lot of accusation, condemnation in your heart when you walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit, right? You know, some children of God make themselves so miserable because they choose. You know, Moses said that he deemed in his mind that it was better to suffer affliction with the people of God and bear the reproach of Christ than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He looked at the pleasures of sin and said, you know what, it's not worth me feeling condemned by the Lord in my heart. It's not worth that. I may get some temporal, carnal enjoyment of that, but it's not worth it. I'm going to forsake that to instead endure affliction with the people of God. But unfortunately, some people were so enticed with those pleasures of sin for a season. Some people were so enticed, because the fact of the matter is, there's a lot about the flesh in the flesh, not when you're walking in the Spirit. There's a lot when you're walking in the flesh that it feels good in the flesh. There's a reason why it's so enticing. But I'll tell you, if you're walking in the Spirit, it is repulsive. If you're walking in the Spirit, those things of the flesh are repulsive to you. You have no desire to have anything to do with them. But if you're walking in the flesh, there is pleasure in sin, but that season passes very quickly. We know that seasons are temporary. Now, the bad thing is there are a lot of horrible effects and ripple effects and long-term effects that happen from indulging in sin for a season. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Eternally, there's no condemnation to them, to those of us that have been placed in Christ before the foundation of the world. But there also should not be condemnation if we're walking in the Holy Spirit as well, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then he goes on to say, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. But spiritually minded is life and peace. For the child of God, are we going to walk in the Spirit or are we going to walk in the flesh? And you will not be happy. You will be absolutely miserable as a child of God if you choose to walk in the flesh. Why? To be carnally minded is death. Death is a separation, particularly a separation of fellowship. To be spiritually minded, though, to walk in the Spirit, is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 9, for ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You know, you can't say, well, I just can't control these desires I have. A child of God can control the desires that you have. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Okay? The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And you have the ability to mortify these deeds of the flesh. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And he's just finished a context of the latter half of this chapter by showing love by our actions, not just simply in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. And if we act like we ought to, if we give joyfully and we show actions of love to others, then there is assurance and a peace in our heart, that justification by faith effect, that peace and assurance in our heart, whereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. But if we don't act like we ought to, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know, just because a child of God feels condemnation in their heart because of the way that they're living their life does not mean that they are eternally condemned before God. No, if our hearts condemn us, the scripture says God is greater than our heart. You know, we talked about justification by faith. There is a greater courtroom than the courtroom of justification by faith. And your verdict in your courtroom of justification by faith in your heart can be wrong. You can feel condemned. How many children of God? We feel that way from time to time. We feel so condemned by our sins. How can I be a child of God? How can I? Where did that action come from? You know, why did I do that? Where did that come from? Why did I say that? Why did that pop out? Why did I do that? Oh, wretched man that I am. How can I be a child of God? And I can't get the words to the song right now, but that that song that's questioning, you know, am I truly a child of God? Well, you know what? There's a lot of children of God that struggle with that, don't they? They feel condemnation of their sin. They feel themselves to be a sinner. Maybe they don't understand the truth of salvation by sovereign grace yet. They struggle and they feel condemned in their heart. They feel like a sinner, and there's nothing I can do to merit eternal salvation. Yea and amen. There's not, right? The point of that is to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ, to bring you to faith in Jesus as the end of the law for righteousness. But understand, when you feel that condemnation in your heart, that has no bearing on if you're truly not condemned before God and if you're saved. All children of God at different points feel condemnation in their heart, right? And that's a good thing, by the way. That's a good thing. That's evidence that the Lord loves us because He chastises His children. That's the purpose of corrective action. And you want to know the means by which oftentimes He uses His rod of corrective action? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit down in your heart convicting you when I haven't done something in the manner that I ought to. I've said something foolishly. I've acted foolishly. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts you down in your heart. Now, at that moment, when you're convicted, I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up. I don't feel worthy of God's love. I don't feel worthy to be in heaven with Him. When you feel that condemnation, you don't need to throw away everything that you've known your entire life and say, well, maybe I'm never a child. Maybe I wasn't a child of God to start with. Maybe, and bless your heart, so many people in other denominations, oh, I got to pray another prayer. Maybe I wasn't sincere the first time. Maybe I've just been living unsaved this whole time, even though I thought I was saved. I got to pray my prayer again. I got to get baptized again. I got to rededicate my... Well, you know what? You need to rededicate your life. If you feel that way, you need to rededicate your life. But that doesn't mean that you need to be in fear that I'm going to go to hell. No, if our hearts condemn us, child of God, take comfort in the fact that God is greater than your heart. And I'll also tell you, if you feel that kind of condemnation, the wicked, the unregenerate, they don't feel that condemnation. They don't feel a remorse of sin. So that feeling that you have doesn't mean that you're not saved. It's an evidence that you are saved. Bless their hearts. So many children of God don't understand that. They don't understand that. Now, leading up to verse 23. And this is His commandment that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And He command, and He, excuse me, and He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him, whereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. How do we obey the commandments of God? You do understand, for us to even be obedient to anything that is spiritual and good and wholesome and right, any ability we have to obey the commandments of God is through the Holy Spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit dwells inside. How do we have the ability to even be obedient to any of His commandments? Because the Spirit dwelleth in us. And it's not our place to put ourselves in the shoes to determine who is and who is not a child of God. But it's also true that if you see someone who is continually engaging in the lust of the flesh with no remorse, with no desire of repentance, with no conviction of sin, the fruit of the Spirit bears evidence that the Spirit is inside of you. But also, the lust of the flesh bears evidence that the flesh is the controlling action. So in other words, a child of God that's living in the Spirit, they have no desire. It's repulsive to engage in these actions of the flesh. You know, do you have any desire to go out and murder people? Do you have any desire to go out and engage in witchcraft and revelings? And do you have any desire to engage in those things? No, it's repulsive when we're walking in the Spirit. So those that obey the commandments of God, we obey the commandments of God because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And that is really the only, and this should humble you so much. It certainly does me when I think about it like I ought to. The only difference between myself and all the rest of the world, the unregenerate world that has no desire for anything that is godly or wholesome, the only difference is the Holy Spirit of God. The only difference. And you want to know the only reason you have the Holy Spirit? It's not because of anything we did. It's solely by the sovereign grace of God. But the only reason that we have any desire to be here today, that we have a desire to, that we love God, that we have a desire to love, the only reason we have a desire to show that love is because God first loved us and He gave us His Holy Spirit. You understand the only difference between a child of God walking in the Spirit and an unregenerate person that is indulging headlong in the lust of the flesh, the only difference is the unconditional grace of God. We deserve it just as much as them, which is nada, zero, zilch. The only difference is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You know, think about in the Old Testament, that tabernacle, that temple. And then when they constructed it, the Lord came down and His Shekinah glory came down and it filled the house. And that was a miraculous, awesome, fearful thing for them to see. And do you want to know the place where the Spirit of God, where Jehovah God resides now? It's not in natural buildings. It's in our bodies. It's in the temple. And think about how strict the rules were for the way that you had to conduct yourself when you were inside the temple in the Old Testament. And all the, and also, not just how strict the rules were, but also the penalties for disobedience. People would be dropped dead like that because they did one little bitty thing wrong. And we need to be reverent and remind ourselves of the fact that the Spirit of God, this is where God has chosen to reside here in His New Testament kingdom. He's chosen to reside in our bodies as the temple of God. And He continues that thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he's just finishing a rebuke on one of those lusts of the flesh. One of those acts of the flesh is fornication and sexual sin. Flee fornication. A child of God should have no desire to engage in those things. Flee fornication. And every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This body is the residing place, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there is no place in this temple for these lusts of the flesh. There's no place in it for that. And therefore, we need to forsake these things. Now, let's highlight a few things very quickly. That we are dependent upon God in just our daily walk. But we're dependent upon God, especially in the church. We're dependent upon God to even believe the gospel and obey the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do we have any ability to obey the truth? Obey the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How are we going to love one another with a pure heart fervently? You don't know how we do it? Through the Holy Spirit. Why? The only way we can do it is through the Holy Spirit, because love is a fruit of the Spirit, right? We are totally dependent upon the Lord and the Holy Spirit to even worship Him today. John chapter 4, verse 23, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus described the Holy Spirit as what? The Spirit of truth. So if you're worshiping in the Spirit, what is the Spirit going to naturally lead you to? The Spirit's not going to lead you to error. The Spirit's not going to lead you to false doctrine. No, the Spirit's going to lead you to truth, right? Because He's the Spirit of truth. We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the only way that we can acceptably worship God here in this world. That's why, you know, this is not just preachers speaking down or negatively about ourselves when we say we can't preach the gospel without the Holy Spirit. We can't worship God without the Holy Spirit. We're dependent upon the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel in a manner that would be edifying to God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's the only way that preaching can happen. Anyone can get up and give a good edifying lesson, and we're thankful that there's a place for that. But the only way that preaching happens is when the Holy Spirit anoints the lesson and the message, and He applies it to your heart individually. Okay? And we are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit in the preaching, and we're also totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit in prayer as well. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's how we pray, is in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. We also have language in Romans chapter 8 where it says that the Holy Spirit makes intercession before God on our behalf for our prayers with groanings that cannot be uttered. That is the intermediary, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, truly, right? He is as well. He's continually making intercession for us. It's almost like our prayers come up and they pass through the filter of the Holy Spirit, and they pass through the filter of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is right there in the God's Spirit. He's not a man, but if you'll give me liberty, He's right there in the ear of God the Father, telling Him the intimate thoughts and intents and the groanings of our heart. We can't, you understand, we can't even pray to God without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no desire to. Right? But aren't you so thankful that the Holy Spirit can clean up our prayers that are so insufficient, that are so, we can't articulate the burdens of our heart so many times in the manner that we desire to, but they are always, always presented to God the Father perfectly. Why? Because the Holy Spirit makes intercession on our behalf. We're dependent upon the Lord even to pray, in the Holy Spirit to pray unto Him. Let's go to Luke chapter 11 to close. You may remember this message. I think this was during one of our live streams during the when we weren't meeting here in person during the COVID intercession, I suppose. But from Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, we try to consider asking the Lord and praying to the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, in that message, we attempted to certainly rightly divide what that verse means. We know that we can't ask the Lord in our heart. We can't ask to be regenerated. We can't ask to be born again. That's the sovereign work of God. But for those of us that, which by the way, as we well know, there is no desire for the natural man to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's the last thing he wants, right? He didn't want the Holy Spirit cramping his style and getting all up in his business and my enjoyment of all the sins of the flesh. No, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I have no desire to have any interactions with the Holy Spirit. But only a child of God has a desire to want the Holy Spirit. So we're certainly not asking to be born again. But for those that have been born again, that have the Holy Spirit, we need to ask the Lord to be gracious, to give us a extra portion of the Holy Spirit. Because we have it abiding in us all the time. You know, God resides in us. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit resides in us. And we feel the presence of God. There's so much joy unspeakable and peace that passes all. There's so much joy and peace when you're walking in the Spirit for the child of God. And you want to know the opposite of that when you're not walking in the Spirit? No joy, no peace. Right? You want to know the opposite of doing all of the things, you know, that's contrary to that ninefold fruit of the Spirit? You're going to have a lot of hatred instead of love. You're going to have condemnation instead of peace. You're going to have fear instead of joy. You're going to have pride instead of meekness. You know, all of these things, if you don't walk in the Spirit, your heart's not going to be happy. It's going to be miserable because you weren't made to walk that way. You're the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that temple is specifically designed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not a temple. I mean, could you imagine? I'll tell you. Some of those people in the Old Testament, they got so confused and deceived. God's people got so confused and deceived in the Old Testament that they were allowing all manner of ungodliness in the temple, weren't they? And it took people like Josiah coming in and reading the Word of God and saying, no, we're getting this out of the temple. But how, I mean, okay, think about that just in a physical way. How disrespectful to the Lord to have all of that sinfulness in the middle of His temple. How dare there be that type of sinfulness in our bodies, in the temple of God? That's so dishonoring. You know, think about Jesus when He came in there and they were making filthy lucre of God's temple. Jesus Christ came in and He started throwing over tables and throwing everybody out. Why? Because that is no business in the temple of God. There is no place for the works of the flesh in the temple of God. Because that is a temple that is designated for the glory of God, for the worship of God, and for the residence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Therefore, let us walk in the Spirit. It's amazing just how there's so many things in discipleship that are so complicated. But yet they're so simple, right? I mean, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all your mind, and love others. You want to know the way all that happens? Walking in the Holy Spirit. Praying, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Living in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes care of all that, doesn't it? Right? If we're walking in the Spirit, we have no desire to do. And of course, we're going to love God with everything that we have and love others. Why? Because what's the very first fruit of the Spirit? It's love, right? The Holy Spirit takes care of all of that. Now, I believe this is a prayer we need to pray. We need to pray, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Please don't let me quench the Holy Spirit. Let me be led by the Holy Spirit. Because I don't have to get up and say, I'm going to just, through sheer willpower and fortitude of mind, I'm going to not engage in this particular lust of the flesh today. You don't know a better remedy for that is? Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you fill me with your Holy Spirit, I'm not going to have to worry about not engaging in that. Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.